Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Constitutionalist, episode number 12. And tonight we're going to talk about the 12th Amendment. I am one of your hosts. My name is Jeremy Johnson, and I'm here with the other host, Travis Bull Johnson, who is the chair of the Constitutional Republic Party here in Minnesota. Travis, how are you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing yourself.
Wow. Hanging in there, just busy, just like you, man. We're just two fools working.
I tell you what, I mean, this time of the year, it's like I don't have crops, so it's not like we're out there doing the harvest like the row farmers are. When you have livestock, you're trying to get everything done before the first row falls and make sure your animals are taken care of for the upcoming year. So, yeah, it may not be the same stress as the guy with crops in the field, but it's definitely a busy time of the year.
I think fall time is a busy time of the year for a lot of people. The farmers obviously are harvesting. Everybody's getting ready for winter, especially in the northern states. You know, you got to get your make sure your wood's chopped, and you know, there's a lot of stuff preparedness going into for winter. So, yeah, and the truckers we're always busy in the fall getting ready for winter too, and making sure our equipment's ready to go, and yeah. It's exhausting, but we keep on plugging away.
I think if I was a trucker, then I would definitely try to cut some deals to be in the South most of the winter.
Yeah, I've thought about it. trust me, I've thought about it. But then that means I got to be away from home longer than what I already am, and it's like no.
Yep.
Like tonight, I actually got the pleasure of being at home for one night. So I just like barely walked in the door now. I mean, I haven't even taken a shower yet, and I just want to take a shower. But we gotta carry on with the show, you know. So anyway, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to discuss the 12th Amendment. We're going to get into a pretty good discussion. I'm going to ask Bull a lot of questions probably tonight, because as I've always said before, I do not claim to be an expert at anything, but that's the whole reason for a conversation. So we can ask questions and we can all better understand the Constitution together. So with that being said, I'm going to kick it off right away and let you know what the Constitution, the 12th Amendment of the Constitution states. So,
hey, did you hear me?
It states, yeah.
Now, right after you finish reading the 12th Amendment, let me kick something else, something in to further it a little bit as soon as you get done.
Absolutely. Okay, so the 12th Amendment states that electing the president and the vice president. Amendment 12 to the Constitution was ratified on June 15, 1804. It revises and outlines the procedure of how presidents and vice presidents are elected, specifically so that they are elected together. That's what that states. So go ahead, Bull.
Now, the Article 2 of the Constitution, which goes into the executive branch, Section 1, plus covers electors. And it says electors in each state shall appoint such a matter as legislative thereof may direct a number of electors equal to the number of senators and representatives. They may be entitled no senator or representative or person holding office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. Now, I asked to be able to read this for a specific reason. What we just said is basically a prime example of how we are a constitutional republic and not a democracy. It basically specifies that these electors are the representatives from the states who get to vote on who the president is. I want you to listen to this again real quick. Each state shall appoint in such manner as a legislator thereof may direct. This means the state does not even legally, according to the Constitution, have to have an election for president. If the legislator basically says the governor shall appoint the electors as he so, deems fit, that is wholly within the means of the Constitution and is constitutional. Would I be right with the way I'm reading this?
So if let's just, I'm going to use the state of Minnesota. Governor Walz.
Yep.
Decided the last election, no matter, you know, what our votes said, like, you know, let's just say that Trump took 90% of Minnesota. Governor Walz constitutionally has the right to say, no, Joe Biden is our president. Is that
correct? Well, let's put it this way. Let's put it this way. The last session, The legislator of the state of Minnesota and Governor Walz signed a law that basically stated that at a certain point in the future, then Minnesota's electoral votes will automatically go to whoever won the national popular election. They've already done that. They've already said that even if Trump would win 90% of the votes in Minnesota, if he would not get the popular vote across the country, he would not get Minnesota's electoral votes under that new law. Now, it doesn't go into effect yet. It doesn't go into effect until enough states with that would constitute a majority of the Electoral College institutes the same law. But yeah, they've already said that our votes in Minnesota won't really matter except how it counts for the overall popular vote of the country.
So basically they want to get rid of the Electoral College.
That's pretty much what they're
doing.
In
some sense.
Yep, it doesn't officially get rid of it because that would be a constitutional amendment. And by the Constitution and the section that I just read to you, they have the right to do that. I don't agree with it necessarily, but the Constitution gives them the right to determine how their electors are allocated. And
so that's why
that's why local and state elections are so important. Because they basically passed a law that basically takes the election for president out of our hands and puts it in the hands of the most populous districts in the country. It puts it in the hands of New York and Los Angeles with their huge population bases. It basically means a presidential candidate doesn't even have to go over flyover country. Or go into flyover country because it's not going to be enough electoral votes to matter. It's not going to be enough votes to matter because they're not going to talk to enough people.
That's why it's so important to research who you're voting for and to understand what kind of laws and legislation that they're passing while they are in office so we can get the right people back
yet,
in there.
And yet the Democrats are the ones who are screaming about that we have a democracy and at the same time, they're taking the right to have our votes count away from us.
Yeah, and by the way, we're not anti-Democrat and we're not anti-Republican on this show, but we will tell you the facts. The Democrats were the ones that were screaming that you're killing democracy. They're trying to be a one world, a one party rule. It's quite the opposite. The Republicans aren't doing that. Not that I have seen. If you have seen it, let me know. I'll call it out.
Yeah.
I don't care. So
now,
when you hear people spout that garbage and that nonsense, you have to understand they don't know what they're talking about. They're listening to their mainstream media news, and they are eating up everything that they're being fed by mainstream media. That's what is going on here, unfortunately. But go ahead, Bull.
No, and then, so yeah, that's what people need to realize. It is up to the state to determine how these electors are selected. And they could do like many states do, and they do all or nothing. But there are other states like Nebraska. Nebraska, I believe, doesn't do the all or nothing for the electoral college votes like we do. They actually say whatever each congressional district is counted individually, and then that electoral vote that was allocated because of that congressional district votes for whatever that congressional district voted for. And then the two senatorial votes go to whoever won the overall popular vote in the state. So say if Minnesota did the same, we basically got four districts right now out of the eight that have Republican congresspeople. So for the sake of argument, we're going to say that in the last election, those four districts would have voted Republican, whereas the other four districts would have voted Democrat, like they're because they have a Democratic congressperson in charge of that district. Instead of 10 votes going to Joe Biden, under that proportional system, it would have been 6 for Joe Biden and 4 for Donald Trump. That's a system that I personally prefer because, again, it allows us to have it shows more of the will of the people. I mean, it still gives a bonus to whoever wins the overall number for the state, but it means that individual districts are still going to get a say, and they're not necessarily tied down to the big population bases of the cities. Last time I checked, I believe there was only two states that did that proportional allocation, and pretty much the rest of the states are all or nothing. Whoever wins the most in that state gets them. But and I have to go back and look because the new law that they pushed through this year, I believe they're up to 12 or 13 states already that have signed on to that pact to do that. And once those states the number of electoral votes from those states who sign on to that passes 270, then all of those states are going to be bound by that compact and give their electoral votes to whoever wins the popular election.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening and you have questions or you want to share your thoughts or opinions, there is a guest call-in number. We do take your calls live on air. But we just ask that you remain respectful. And that phone number is 516-717-1733. So get your phone out, and I will say that number one more time so you guys can hear it. Just type it right in your phone. Add it as your contact, the radio show, and this is the same number on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights on all three of our different radio shows on this network. But that phone number, again, ladies and gentlemen, is 516-387-1733. And when you get through, just make sure that you press the number 1. It's not going to ask you to. Just when you start hearing us, press the number 1. That lets me know on my switchboard, hey, I want to be added into the conversation.
Okay.
And again, just please now, remain respectful.
Now again, I'm gonna go back a little bit to the 12th Amendment, and we'll reread part of it. The electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom at least shall not be an inhabitant. Of the same state with themselves. And otherwise, they have to vote. Both president and vice president cannot come from the same state. They shall name in their ballots the person voted for as president, and in the state ballots, the person voted for vice president. And they shall make a distinct list of all persons voted for as president and all persons voted for as vice president, and the number of votes for each, which list they shall sign and certify and transmit sealed to the seat of the government of the United States directed to the president of the Senate. The president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and the House of Representatives, open all of the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president. If such number is a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if no person shall have such majority, then for the persons having the highest number not exceeding three on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. But in choosing the president, the votes shall be taken by states, the representatives from each state having one vote, the representation from each state having one vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of the members or members of two-thirds of the states, and a majority of all the states shall necessarily have a choice. And the House of Representatives shall not choose a president whenever the right of choice shall devolve upon them before the 4th of March next following. Then the vice president shall act as president as the case of the death or constitutional disability of the president. And it goes into the same thing for vice president, except if there is no majority in the vice president, the Senate gets to choose the vice president. Now, the reason I wanted to read the long form on this and go into a lot more of the details on this is because I want to address the last election. And because there's a lot of rigmarole going on during the last election when it came down to the certification of the election. The whole issues with January 6th and so forth. But what I want to point out is in this amendment, and this amendment is what January 4th was all about. Okay, don't make any mistakes. This amendment assigns the vice president or the president of the Senate, which is the vice president, one responsibility: to count and certify the number of votes that he got. Nowhere in this does it say that the vice president or the president of the Senate can decide not to honor a state's elector. I went back and we talked a little bit about Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2, which described what electors were and who electors were. If you look at the 12th Amendment and that section, the only people who could have any say on those electors and how they voted are the states. Congress has no say in the matter. Nowhere in this does it give Congress the right, unless there is not a majority of votes on the Electoral College, nowhere in here does Congress have any say in anything, except to certify the number of votes cast for which candidate. Now, if anybody out there or any listener has a different opinion on this and can show me where it says differently in the Constitution, please call in and educate me. But, I mean, everything I'm looking at here says the states determine how their electors are chosen and how they vote. Nothing about Congress having a veto in that. And that was one of my major objections to the way things went in Congress on the 6th of January. Because I was running for Congress at the time, and would I have voted to certify? Yes. I would have definitely voted to certify it because I see nothing in this that gives me the right to say no. And I swore from the first day that I would obey and follow the Constitution and honor the Constitution. So the Constitution did not give the representative from the 7th District of Minnesota veto over another state's legislator, which is what people were asking them to do. They were asking Congress people in another state to veto the will of the state legislator of a completely another state. Okay, that is completely against anything that any concept of a small, limited federal government. They were basically trying to give the federal government the authority to override the state's elections, which is as far from being constitutional as I can get or I can think about. Now, I know this might not always be the most popular opinion, but this is the opinion that I'm basing off the words of the Constitution.
Then let me ask you a question then, Bull. And yep. I understand where you're coming from, and I think that's a fair statement to make. You're honoring the Constitution. Do you think there was cheating in the 2020 election?
I think there's cheating in every election.
I do too.
That's what call it as it is. I mean, every election has cheating. Now, whether there was enough cheating to skew the results, I don't know. That I don't know. But, I mean, let's remember, I mean, this is not the first time. It was probably even closer of a possibility in the election where Gore lost. Because then it all came down to one state. And it was a very close number of votes in Florida. So
yep.
It would not
hanging
take
Chad,
a lot of
remember?
In Florida. What's that?
Remember the hanging chads?
Yep. It would not have taken a lot of votes in Florida, cheating in Florida, to affect that election. Probably a lot more so than happened in this election. Now, and again, when I was running for Congress in a conservative district, I mean, and we addressed this because this would come up in almost every campaign stop we came up to. And people would always ask me, would you have voted to certify? And I have to tell them yes, because I don't think there was anything in the Constitution that would have given me a right not to certify it. I mean, especially when you have GOP representatives and senators from those states saying that, yes, our elections were fair. How do you override somebody in your own party saying their state did it right? And that's specifically built towards Pennsylvania and Orrin Hatch, who said, no, our elections were square. But I believe there's go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, here's the things that I've observed about, especially the 2020 election. Okay, we talk about the Gore and Bush election,
yep,
and Florida and the hanging chads. That was a piece of paper on the ballots that weren't registering votes.
Yep.
I can tell you what I've observed about the 2020 election, and that was in the state of Arizona, that was in the state of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Fulton County, Georgia. I observed a lot of fraudulent activities in those videos, I should say.
Yep.
We're talking a broken water pipe at 3 o'clock in the morning and something else in another state at 3 o'clock in the morning where I'm certainly not saying this because I'm pro-Trump or anti-Trump. I'm just giving you what I observed to the audience,
mm-hmm,
that the votes went drastically from Trump winning in all of those swing states to Biden,
yep,
miraculously coming back. And I've listened,
yep,
to a lot of people that are statisticians, and they say that that's statistically impossible. That could not have happened. I do remember hearing that they did batch polls, where they'd pull, mm-hmm, 100 ballots, and 100% of them were for Joe Biden from the military. And when,
yeah,
you watch videos from the military now and when Trump was in office, You see the our military sitting around Joe Biden, and he's like he's lethargic, and they're all none of them are smiling. They're all just looking at him like, get this guy out of here. You look at Trump videos when he was there; they're smiling, they're shaking hands. It's a complete 180. And again,
yeah,
I'm not
you know what?
Saying either way.
Yeah, and remember, I mean, I'm a 20-year Army vet, okay? I mean, I was in basically when Trump won the first election. And I'll tell you, there was a large number of military members who didn't like Trump. I saw them. I mean, it's one of those, at the same time, I mean, there was a whole lot of people who also didn't like Hillary Clinton or, I mean, because, again, the military is a wide, I mean, one of the things, the big difference is how do I want to put this nicely? Trump would encourage military in his, when he was doing these different things, to show their support. Actively in uniform while he was president, which was highly illegal. Military is not allowed to do that. President's commander in chief, he says, you know what? Show them how much you love me. Guess what? They're going to show them how much they love him, even if they don't, because, again, he's the boss. He's the commander in chief. He would very much use that the military as a campaign prop. Not that all presidents don't. I mean, that's why they go to combat zones. That's why they do a lot of what they do. But let's face it, when it comes down to publicity and stuff like that, Trump was the master. Okay, he was. I mean, he was all. I mean, he was excellent when it came down to stuff like that and spinning and appearances. I mean, he, by far, probably the most talented politician I've ever seen or heard on that. But I mean, I'm here to tell you, there was military who did not like Trump. There was a lot of them in the intelligence field who didn't like him, and I can say that firsthand because I was in the intelligence field at that point. And the reason they didn't like him is, I gotta watch what I say, so I'm not overstepping. Breaking any laws as far as what I can and can't legally disclose. But the intelligence field felt that anything that they were doing for President Trump had to be dumbed down. Because if they gave a 3 or 4 page explanation of something, when it came down to the briefing, if it didn't have pictures, he didn't want to see it. And this is what I'm hearing from having been in that field. So I mean, I'll tell you, there was a lot. The people within the intelligence field didn't feel that they were respected by the president. So I do know there is a lot of them in there who did not really care for him. So there are a lot of military who did not.
But not to the point, Bull, where
not
Biden was getting 100
no.
to zero.
No, never.
You know, I can't buy that.
I would say it was probably, and I'm pulling numbers out of my ass here, I'd say it was probably 60% for Trump, 40% against.
Yeah,
I'd say he still probably had a majority, just because Republicans generally do have the majority of the military.
Yeah, it's just when you pull 100 random ballots, it's statistically impossible to have 100% for one party or the other. Even if it would have been 100% Trump, I would have said bullshit.
Yep. No,
you're
absolutely right. It should never be that way. But I'd have to see the actual studies or where that came, where the that they did that. Because I haven't seen anything that, and I, again, when I was running, I was trying to get as much information, real information as I could. Because, again, these questions came up when I was on the campaign trail. I needed to have answers. I needed to have real reasons on real what my thought processes were.
Right. Let me ask you another question real quick.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So earlier today I commented on Joe Biden made a post, and I don't even remember what the post was about. Well, it was about the potential government shutdown looming. And he said the Republicans ain't doing their job. He blamed it all on the Republicans. Had nothing to do with what his spending bill was, that he wants to catapult us another $1.5 trillion more in debt. But I believe that's the number. I might be off. But it had nothing to do with that. It was all because the Republicans weren't doing their job. And I posted on there. I said, how about you do your job? You want to send more money to Ukraine, which Ukraine is getting $233 million a day since February of last year. And I said, you do your job. And I said, when the Maui fires happened, you sent $700 to every person that was involved with that. $700. Here's $700. Like that was a big gift from FEMA, right? And meanwhile, FEMA, some of the FEMA members were staying in hotels in Maui, luxury five-star hotels, spending $1,200 a night. Ladies and gentlemen, a night.
Yep.
So, and I've got this all backed up. This is all, I mean, you can go look it up. Just all you have to Google search if you want to find out. Google search, were FEMA members spending the nights in luxury hotels in Maui during the fire? It's all out there. So
now
I was attacked. Hold on one second. Hold on one second.
Uh-huh.
I want to get to my point. I was attacked by the left. I was a liar. I was an idiot. I'm a piece of POS, piece of shit. But they called me every name in the book. And I left them a link so they could actually read the story. And they said, oh, that's not a legitimate news source. And I'm thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. So one lady actually told me, you know, Trump is responsible for what happened in Afghanistan when that military pullout happened, right? And that one blew my mind. How is Trump responsible for what happened in Afghanistan when Joe Biden was president and 13 service members got killed? How? Tell me how. That's what I wanted to say, and that's the question. Tell me how that was Trump's fault.
That's all Sleepy Joe on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I will put some – but how do I – okay, so let me go through the different things that you brought up. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna lend a lot of context to some of this information to where the things you're pointing out. Let's start off with the hotels in Maui. So you had a lot of fires, right? So you had a lot of people who were out of a house. Are they gonna afford the $1,200 hotel room? Probably not. So I'd say that everybody affected by the fires probably took up every hotel room that was affordable. And there's only so many hotel rooms. So now you've got to send government employees out there to do the FEMA, to do the federal aid, to do the relief. And the only hotels that were left available are the luxury rooms, because Joe Blow on the economy, a real Hawaiian, can't afford $1,200 a night. Those are all
but FEMA was out there.
Left.
FEMA was out there 2 to 3 weeks before those fires even happened.
I don't know about that.
That's
that
the
I
kicker of the
seen.
Story.
Yeah, that if that's true, then my example goes completely out of the window. But
you're playing the devil's advocate, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You have to. We have to play that. So
now, on the other side, as far as the Republicans doing their job. October 1st is Sunday. According to this Constitution, the one that we're professing to follow, all spending bills must start in the House of Representatives. There are 14 bills to be passed for spend, for government spending. Of those 14, the GOP has passed one. The GOP has a majority of Congress. They have passed one out of 14 bills, and the end of the fiscal year starts, the new fiscal year starts on Sunday. I'd say the Republicans aren't doing their job. One out
agree.
Of 14 bills. One.
It's under the leadership of Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy is a failure in my eyes. He should not be the leader of the House.
Now, guess which one got through? I'll give you one guess and you don't even need it. Who did we say probably vote Republican? I say, which one do you think made it through? Who normally votes Republican? Military? So DOD is the one that got through.
Interesting.
The other 13 are still sitting somewhere, have not gotten a vote. So I mean,
and that's in the House.
Been one of my, in the House, because it has to originate in the House by the Constitution. Congress doing not doing their job. That is their only job. If you look over the we will eventually, we'll get to that part of the Constitution where it assigns responsibilities to the three branches. One of the only jobs that is actually assigned to Congress is to pass a budget. That is in their must-do category, and they never get it done. But you know what gets it done? Changing a name on a post office. Because that happens quite a bit, because we always see Michelle Fischbach posting about that. Those bills seem to get through with no issues. But the ones that is actually assigned to Congress by the Constitution, they don't do. if I had my way, we'd pass an amendment saying that after October 1st, the only bills that can be passed are budget bills until they're all passed. It would forbid them from passing anything else until the damn budget is done. That's the amendment I would like to see. But I mean, they've even passed laws to say they have to do it and they don't follow it. It gets me.
Well, unfortunately, Bull, our government has gotten to the point now where you have the two-party system, obviously. I mean, you have a very minute independent party involved, but or libertarian party. But so they want to pass this budget bill, and they send it over to Congress. Congress, let's get this budget bill passed. Well, the Democratic Party and Joe Biden says, no, we need this, and this. And they're like, no, that's not going to happen. So it's not, I wouldn't put all of the blame on the Republicans, even though I don't like Kevin McCarthy and I think he's a poor leader. There's no negotiation. There is no compromise in our government anymore with the two parties.
You know what?
It's my way or the highway.
Let the GOP do their job. They do their budget. They send it over to the Senate. And if the Senate shoots it down, then guess what? We sent you your budget. The Democrats said no. We tried.
Right. I agree with that.
We sent it to them, and they voted against it. Okay? But they need to do their job and make them say no. I mean, that's how these things are supposed to work, is get it over there, they say no, and you go back and forth, and you eventually get something done.
So let me ask you another
question.
But
you do this, you don't wait until the last minute to do it.
Right. No, I agree with that. Let me ask you another question. So let's just hypothetically say that the Congress got a budget together and they sent it to the Senate. Here's a question I think the world wants an answer to. What in the hell are we letting Mitch McConnell continue his being a senator when the guy freezes up in a mid-sentence and just stares into the wall? That and what's the other one from California? That she was gone for however long. And then you got John Fetterman. Diane Feinstein. And then you got John Fetterman, where they actually changed the dress code for Senate so he could be comfortable. And then Rand Paul comes in and wears a bathrobe to Senate last week. But they're making a mockery of our government. They're making a mockery of America when they allow these inept people to stay in office. Now, I don't wish ill will on any of them, but they don't need to be there.
No. And you know what? I'm not going to say you have to have a three-piece suit anytime you're in there for a vote. But at the same time, you do need standards. I mean, what's so hard about at least business casual? Slacks and a frickin' polo. Okay, you want to dress down? Okay, slacks and a polo. We can live with that.
If he walked in there with blue jeans and a button-up shirt or a polo, I'm okay with that. I don't expect you to wear a suit all the time.
But a hoodie, shorts, and flip-flops or sandals or Crocs, whatever he wears on his feet. I never see that far down. But, yeah, but for a hoodie and shorts, I just – no. And trust me, I love my hoodies, okay? Don't get me wrong, okay? But I wouldn't expect to go into a business environment wearing that in shorts. A little less the Congress of the United States of America. I mean, I was always the one on the campaign trail saying, "Hey, look at me. What you see is what you get." But even in those cases, it was generally a pair of slacks and a flannel, blue jeans and a flannel. Unless I was in the middle of walking a parade, then guess what? I ain't dressing up for that. Sorry.
Well, no, we know when I met you down at a parade, you had your campaign shirt on, and you had to walk the parade, and you talked to numerous people in the tent, and they asked you legit questions, and you've always said this. You've never flip flopped. You've always said the same thing, and it's all about the Constitution, and These people that we allow to say they are our representatives, what are they representing? Mitch McConnell, he can't keep focus. He's got handlers, for God's sake, that come up. Are you okay? He can't hear you, so they make excuses. Can you speak louder so he can hear you? No, he can hear everything. He just can't respond because there's something wrong with him, obviously. And Diane Feinstein, she's got, like, I think she's probably sitting on the edge of her grave with her feet dangling in there, honestly. And I'm not trying to be mean.
Yep.
But geez.
But what it
please.
Is. But what it is, and this is what part of it is anyway, so much of the power in the Senate is based on seniority. The seniority gets you your assignment that you want. They get the priority. So if Feinstein and like Feinstein's a perfect example because you got a Democratic governor. So if she can't succeed, then the governor appoints another Democrat to replace her. So it's not like we're switching the status quo. It's not like you have a Republican governor who will replace her with the other party. But you replace her with somebody with a lot less seniority who now gets the shit committee assignments while the plum assignments like judicial that Feinstein is on, somebody else takes over from another state. So the states don't want it because, again, that's where all their power resides based on seniority. Kentucky And I'd have to look, because Republican governor.
In case you haven't noticed, California is a shithole. Again, my language, but what they're doing to their state, and now Gavin Newsom is going to have a debate with Ron DeSantis from Florida. If you don't think Gavin Newsom's going to be running in the presidency for 2024, you better open your eyes because they're not going to allow Joe Biden to go through there again. The guy can't barely – they got a special task force out now trying to make sure that he doesn't fall anymore because he's fallen so much because there's something obviously wrong with that guy. And I don't mean this mean, but I'm pointing out the obvious.
Yeah. And
they're not going to allow him to run.
Yeah. But guess what? It's not just the but for Feinstein. The other reason they're keeping her in there is you have so many people with power who want to replace her. But at the same time, they know that if the governor appoints somebody, they basically go into the next election with the power of the office. So they don't necessarily want Newsom selecting it either. So there's nobody trying to push her out because if they're not Newsom's favorite, then it lessens their opportunity or their chance to win the next election when she doesn't run. But at the same time, is the people of the country's will getting done? I mean,
absolutely not.
Granted, I mean, with Feinstein being out, it really caused a major issue with the Judicial Committee because then the Democrats no longer had the majority of the Judicial Committee, which meant basically no Senate confirmations were going through unless it was a candidate that both parties could agree on because they couldn't just force the judgeships through without her being there. The Democrats tried to put somebody else on that committee in her place, and the Republicans basically said no. Now, if she wants to resign her position and then you put somebody on there, that's fine. But they wanted to put somebody on there to replace her temporarily. And, of course, she would not resign her position within that committee to free open that slot. So that's the thing with these people in D.C. They're all about their own power. They won't do what's right for the people because that might mean they're giving up some of their power that they've acquired. I mean, that's why we need term limits.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm a latecomer.
How long do you think the government's been corrupt? Like that way, where they don't care about the people anymore. It's more about retaining their power.
Since 1776.
I was going to go with late 1700s and early 1800s.
Yeah.
Because I think when they wrote the Bill of Rights, I think they had a great idea. But then, of course, people got involved again.
When you have human beings, you're always going to have people who are going to be attracted to the power who shouldn't necessarily have power. I mean, that's the old joke, is the only people who want power are those you should never trust with it. there's always a question, there are a handful of people who truly believe in support and basically supporting the people and doing what's right by the people. But I think that number is few and far between.
And their hands are tied because they're a minority.
It's about pushing agendas.
Mm-hmm.
And I use Michelle Fischbach, I mean, as a perfect example. This is all just my personal opinion. I think the main reason she's in Congress has everything to do with her personal opinion and agenda when it comes to abortion. If that topic did not exist, I don't know if she'd even be in there or even want to be in there. But she sees that position as the best position to get things done the way she wants it done on banning abortion. So that's where her loyalty is. That's why she runs. That's why she wants to do it, because that is the main. That is what she is passionate about. Everything that she does is based off of wanting that one issue. I believe. And again, I may be mistaken, but again, I think if you take that one issue off the table, most of her any of her passion for the position goes away. And I think that's what it is on a lot of our representatives. They might have one or two things they're passionate about. For me, honestly, it would be, I would have to say I'm the same way. But my passion had everything to do with going there to limit government. That's what I'm passionate about. That is my, but if I got elected, it may have come to a point of I'd have to choose between my passion of limiting government and if the people of our district really wanted something that was going to grow government. And I always said, if it ever got to that point, then I'd say, okay, some time for somebody else to do this, because I wouldn't be able to do it. But there's a lot of men there who are just there because they are so narcissistic. They're so self-important that they truly believe that they're the only ones qualified to make decisions for the rest of us. Which I'll quick point out that nobody's qualified to make decisions for the rest of us. We are just allowing you to do so because to go for pure democracy is just way too damn cumbersome. Somebody has to be up there to make the decisions, and you almost have to have that mentality when you're running for political office to think you can do better than anybody else. I mean, there has to be a touch of narcissism, I think, in there.
Well, and we have to also remember that a good majority of the population are being influenced by the media, one side or the other. Depending on what you prefer to watch as far as mainstream media, one side is pushing the right narrative, the other side is pushing the left narrative. Nobody's pushing, hey, there's a third candidate out here. They're Constitutional Republic Party. They're new to the game. They just created the party. You know, they're not giving any media coverage to people like us.
No.
Because God forbid people like us get into office, because if we get into office, heads are going to roll. And I don't mean that literally. I'm saying that we want to limit the government. We want to go back to our core values. That's what we want.
And the government does not want to be limited.
No, and the government also influences the media, and the government influences social media. It's all been proven in court, and it's all been proven. So it's not that your media doesn't want to talk about it. They don't, but the government is telling them you don't talk about this, because guess what? All those ads that were brought to you by Pfizer, they're going to pull their funding away from you. It's all about money, ladies and gentlemen. All the way down the line, our whole system is corrupt, media, government, from your local school boards all the way to the federal government. If you don't believe me, you pay attention, and I promise you, you'll learn. Yeah, so that's why Bull created the Constitutional Republic Party, and I found Bull on Facebook, and we kind of started chatting, and I started commenting on some of his stuff, and lo and behold, we became friends, and I got involved with the Constitutional Republic Party, and now we have a radio show together, because I think basically, for the most part, do we have disagreements sometimes? Absolutely we do. We're both willing to listen to each other, number one. Number two, we both have the same mindset that this government is out of control. And it's not just me and him. It's everybody that's involved with the Constitutional Republic Party have the same mindset that we have to do something. This is our way of doing something. Are we doing anything? Are we getting anything accomplished? I don't know. We're trying. That's all you can do. So when you hear us on here talking about the Constitution, we're just trying to refresh our memories and to learn a few things along the way, and to help you understand what the Constitution states, and to help you understand that the Constitutional Republic Party, we're not here for power and money. In the bylaws of the Constitutional Republic Party, there is term limits that are set, and that is what we're aiming for. And so we're just here to bring our great republic back to its core values so we can all live a better life and all live more free. That's all it is. So
yep.
I just wanted to throw that out there real quick. But we got about 4 minutes left, Bull. What do you think?
No, just I think that's probably a pretty good way to end. The reason we do what we do is because we believe in this country. We believe the principles this country was started on. And while we acknowledge the Constitution is not perfect, it is the best thing out there. I think when a majority of it was written with the right intent, but you're always dependent on the actors to enforce that intent. And it's up to the people to keep the government from growing too powerful. And the problem is we've gotten to the point, unfortunately, where people are lazy. They don't want to make decisions anymore. They have gotten to the point where a majority of Americans, I truly believe, have gotten to the point where they would rather the government make majority of their decisions for them so they don't have to. They don't actually have to do the research to figure out what the right answer is. They want to be told what the right answer is. And the problem is I'm thinking that the people who believe like that are outnumbering those of us who really are willing to think and willing to do research, who feel responsible for making the right decisions. People just don't want that responsibility. They want to be able to blame somebody else when something goes wrong. So nobody really wants to live their own lives anymore, because it's so much easier to blame somebody else when something goes to shit. And we've got to start reestablishing that independence and self-responsibility. If we don't, I just don't know what future this country is going to have left. I mean, eventually we'll get replaced by countries populated by people who do want that responsibility and who are willing to make choices.
What you just said, I don't even know if I want to add to that, because that was probably the best closing, whatever you call that. That was the best closing of a radio show I think I've ever heard. Like, you hit the nail on the head. We have become lazy, and it's all by design, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. It's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to be wrong. Just stand up, like, stand tall and say, you know what, I was wrong, but I learned a lesson.
And learn.
You know,
and learn from.
Nobody wants to do that. Yeah, but nobody wants to do that. Like, I do that all the time. I will tell you, when you proved me wrong, and I was screaming from the mountaintops that I thought I was right, but then you proved me wrong, I will scream from the mountaintops that I was wrong. Because I want you to know that I am humble. I have integrity. I will tell you when I'm wrong. I don't have a problem
yep.
with that. I'm not a genius, but I go off based off of my knowledge, my opinions and facts that I've read. That's where you get my political stance. And, well, of course, the Constitution. I love this country. I love that flag. I appreciate all the lives that were sacrificed for that flag, for that freedom, and all the people that continue to serve and all the people that don't serve anymore. When I seen what happened in Afghanistan, that it turned my stomach. It made me sick.
Yep.
That was
you
that,
and me both.
That was horrible. Yeah. So I don't really have anything more to say, because I think Bull covered that perfectly at the end there. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to start standing up. You've got to start researching your candidates. And if you don't have to vote for anybody. You don't have to vote for the lesser of two evils, because when you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for evil. So why are you doing it? You know who I voted for the last election? Joe Jorgensen, because I liked what she had to say. I'm not against Trump. I am certainly against Biden, and that's just my opinion. I don't like that guy. I never have liked the guy. I think he's a career politician that's screwed the American people for over 50 years. That's my opinion. I do like Trump's, some of his policies. I think he did wanted to keep America first, and You know, what they're doing now at the border is despicable. It's not just despicable for our country. It's despicable for those people that are trying to come over, and they're being treated the way they are. It's inhumane. They're cutting holes in our existing border wall because they said, this administration said, it's for the migration of antelope. No, it's not. It's to allow people to come more people to come in undetected. And the worst thing about it is Venezuela is emptying out their prisons and busing these people up to the border. Like, this isn't about, oh, we got to help these people because they're fleeing, you know, communism. No, some of them are. I gather that. But there are some that are coming across this border that are not good people. And this is, in my opinion, is a planned invasion of our country. And you can see what's going on in New York. They're going broke. I just seen a Senate hearing today where they asked a guy that, well, all the border communities are safe and secure. There's murders happening. The crime has risen in some cases 300-400%. It's not as safe and secure as one would like to say. And we're not prepared to handle this influx of migrants. And that's just my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. You can take it or leave it. I think we need to do better as a country, without a shadow of a doubt. So, I don't know, Bull, with that being said, do you have anything else to say tonight?
No, sure don't, man.
All right. Well, on that note then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end the 12th episode of The Constitutionalist. Just to remind you all, we start the show off talking about a certain amendment. In this case, it was the 12th Amendment. Tells you that the states dictate, you know, basically who they vote for president and vice president. And next week we'll discuss the 13th Amendment, and have conversation. And we go into different topics after we discuss whatever amendment we're talking about for the night. And if you want to call in, again, write this phone number down. The phone number is 516-387-1733, and make sure you press the number 1 when you start hearing us on your telephone. That way we know you want to talk. We're trying to inform you and us what the Constitution states, share our opinion and thoughts on it, and we would appreciate your conversation and your opinion on it. And so from the Constitutional Republic Party here in Minnesota, hopefully we can change this country around and not be a two-party system, but be a system that works for all of us, not just one side or the other, and have a little compromise and have a little bit of communication so we don't feel so divided anymore. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us, and I hope you all have a great week, and we will talk to you next Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central Time. Have a great night.